Good afternoon. Welcome to Wednesday afternoon of a long conference. Thank you all for coming. I really appreciate it. Once again, my name is Jenny McKibben, and I am from Oregon, and I work with the Alert IIS. We are right smack dab in the middle of the growing pains of getting into a new system, and we will soon implement the summer, so I'll explain some more. First, I want to give you a little background. ALERT is a statewide immunization information system, and it has been since 1995, but we've only been lifespan since 2008. So basically, prior to 2008, we were a childhood registry, and since then, we had planned to implement slowly into a lifespan system until we actually get our new system. So that's where we're at right now. We have 100% of our public providers submit to us, but that's because we do require our public providers to submit, but we do not require our private providers. So basically, our system is a voluntary system for all private providers, but we do have a 92% participation rate. So that is something that we're very proud of. Also, we have about 4 million demographic records, or 4 million people, and about 45 million immunization records at this time. We are definitely growing, and we've grown a lot since H1N1, as I'm sure most of you have. IRIS is our second system in Oregon. We've actually had two for many years. ALERT has always been geared more towards our private providers, and we get data from our public providers, but most of that is through this IRIS system. And so, just so you know, that we had that system since about 2003 with 1.1 million demographic records and about 12 M records. And that system is also linked with our WIC program at the state. So why were we motivated to change? Well, first of all, we have two systems, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. So IRIS was always a system that was geared more towards a medical record for immunization purposes, and ALERT was more of just immunizations only, not a medical record. And so we've always been synchronizing the two systems, but as you know, with synchronization, that's definitely fraught with some challenges as well. Both systems were getting old, as in technology today. I mean, our cell phones don't even last a year, so you can imagine that we were ready for an upgrade. And then also, obviously, data needs were growing exponentially. Our population is increasing, our ALERT changing to lifespan and increased a lot as well. And then we all know what the ACIP schedule looks like, and we all know how many more vaccines are coming out on the market. So what did we do? What was our process? Basically, we knew that we were in a community, I'm looking out at all of you, because we're in a community that shares information, and we were thrilled to ask a lot of people. So basically, we worked with our partners in the ARA community, as well as our partners internally, our VFC staff, as well as private and public providers as well. We started out with doing a request for information, and then with that, we did a market analysis and a request for proposal. Prior to my work with this, I didn't even have a clue what any of this meant, so it's been a great learning experience for me. So what that meant was we really were searching for a lot of information before we would even start the process of doing a request for proposal. What we ended up doing was we chose a public domain system, which is the Wisconsin Immunization Registry, and we always called it WIR, but since everybody calls Oregon, Oregon, or something similar to that, we decided we needed to start calling it WIR because that's what everybody else was calling it. So basically, we decided to go with the WIR system, but we really liked all the stuff that New York had done to that system previously, and so we ended up choosing the WIR system and with all of New York's modifications. So on that note, we really want to thank all of our partners, which includes New York, Hawaii, and a bunch of other states that we received information from to help us on this challenging route, or whatever you want to call it. So here we are, the new ALERT IIS. So this system will replace IRIS and the ALERT registry as it stands today. And we will, we're excited because we are going on to a new robust Oracle platform, and it is hosted and supported by Hewlett-Packard, HP, and we're thrilled by that for many reasons. One, we have a homegrown system that we have basically one person who knows every single part of that system who's going to be retiring in about a year. So that was a key right there that we knew that we needed assistance, and we have been getting great assistance from HP so far. The other thing that we're excited about is that it's scalable. So we are needing to accommodate all of those things that I mentioned previously. Okay, so our path on this contracting path has been a long journey, but here we are. So basically what we decided is we broke our contracts down to two phases. Basically our proof of concept phase and then our system implementation phase. So that meant two contracts, two long contracts with our state partners and our HP partners. Phase one was basically a period of 3 to 6 months. We called that our proof of concept. And what that really was a chance for us, Oregon, to get our fingers in a system that we just were nervous about because we have had our own system for years and we just had to see it. That's basically it. We just felt like we had to see it. So basically, what we did is we contracted with HP to set up an instance of the New York State, the NYSIS system, for us to look at. And so what we did is we took all of our requirements, 300 plus requirements, and went through those in the system and basically did kind of like a user acceptance testing period for us in Oregon just to get our fingers in it, I guess you could say. And then our next contract was our system implementation, and that was basically phase two, and it's about a period of about 5 years. So what we did with that was basically contracted with HP to construct and then host our system. And that contract was signed last year, almost a year ago. And so I just want to point out those two dates. Our first contract was signed on 2/20/09, which was just prior to H1N1. And then contract signed 6/15/09, just after all of us heard about H1N1 and right in the middle of all of our planning for what we are going to do as a state. So you can imagine this was kind of an intense time for us. So the reasons for proof of concept. It offered us, as Oregon, an opportunity to evaluate the system that we were planning on purchasing. It was important for us because it provided a go, no-go decision point that we had already invested some money, but not as much as we were obviously planning for the entire thing. And it was a chance for us to get our hands-on experience, which I've mentioned already, and it just kind of shows that, yes, Oregon, we have control issues. And if you ever want to know how many, just ask our HP project team. So I want to just go through a few things. I'll talk a little bit about our Oregon team proof of concept responsibilities, and then I'll also talk about the responsibilities for HP team. So what we needed was to ensure staff was available to be trained on the system. That really is no small task. We do have a large immunization program, but we ask a lot of all of our internal partners and hours of their time getting in the system to see if what they would be using in the system in the future would work for them or if there was changes that needed to be made. We also had to provide the training facility and equipment. That was pretty simple because we have a really good relationship with our WIC program and with our preparedness program, and we actually share a computer training room in our office, so that was simple. And then we also needed to review documentation provided by HP, and the reason for that, why that's even up there, is because there was a lot of material and we really needed to get everybody to go through it so we all were on the same page. And then we also conducted an in-depth analysis of the worst solution that was presented by HP, and basically what we needed to do is compare our requirements to the solutions that they had suggested. Then we also participated in an in-depth analysis led by HP, but what we did is we had a really good week-long session where we just hashed out all of the issues that we came up with at a state with our partner in the room, and so it was probably the most productive week we've had. Then we basically managed the requirements refinement process and conduct requirements review meetings as needed. That was basically that week as well, but it was a lot of work. And then finally we redid review and approval of final deliverables, and there were a lot of final deliverables, just to tell you. So that's kind of in a nutshell what our Oregon responsibilities were for the proof of concept. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the HP team's responsibilities. There's a few more. So first of all, They had to host the proof of concept and provide access for our team. And after that, they had to train us, because of course we had seen the system. So they trained us on all of the operational and technical aspects of the system in order for us to even get in there and do all of our testing. Then they had to, like I said before, all of those things that we were required to read, well, they had to provide it to us. And then they had to answer our questions. And believe me, there were a lot of questions. There's another full slide. So we also required of them to participate in requirements and analysis meetings, which it wasn't just the 1 week. We had plenty of other meetings regarding this. Conduct and present to DHS, that's us, an in-depth analysis of the proposed versus what was proposed versus what was in the base WER system, because there was a lot of differences. Then document findings of these meetings and prepare draft outline and proof of concept report for review. A lot of these are reports that they just seemed endless, but they were all very key and essential, and we will be using them over and over again, and I'm sure that we can share plenty of them. Also, we asked them to prepare and validate a set of requirements that shall be managed as a baseline to guide work to be performed in subsequent project tasks and phases. Another document, basically. And guess what? We're not done. We have another slide. So HP also conducted a walkthrough of the validated set of requirements with appropriate DHS staff. That's us. We just basically had to go through each of these set of requirements with the group that they actually pertain to within our staff. Develop and submit a proof of concept report, and then also prepare any final deliverables for approval. And I just want to say that that's a lot. I know I've kind of mentioned that a few times, but it was a lot of work, and I just kind of spewed out a lot of words for you guys, and I would love to just chat with you on a smaller basis if you guys had any other questions, but there's a lot of work involved in this, and it was all pretty important to us. So I just want to summarize really quickly what some of these deliverables were. So our proof of concept report was essential for us in Oregon, and I do believe for HP as well. So basically we took our set of requirements, our 300 requirements, and went through each of them during this proof of concept. We as the state did this, and we basically categorized them in a pass with modification, customize, or follow-up groupings. Pass was basically, yeah, good to go. We don't need to make any changes. And there were quite a few of those. Then we did pass with modification, which just meant that there just needed to be a tweak here and there to make it fulfill our needs. And then customization was a brand new concept that we wanted and needed to have changed in the system. And then follow-up was kind of for those aha moments that we found in whenever we were doing the proof of concept, and I will talk a little bit more about those in a minute. So our preliminary planning documents were, with our system design documents, basically these were pretty essential, and there's many system design documents that I don't think that we have time to go through right now. So some outcomes of our proof of concept. Basically, like I mentioned just a minute ago, the vast majority of those mandatory requirements were passed. So that was a nice deep breath for all of us in Oregon. We were thrilled that most of them passed. Some of the minor modifications were, one was our minimum search criteria. For a long time, we thought we had it right, and then we talked to our AG, and she said, no, we can't do it that way. So there's a lot of tweaks and changes that we had to do with just that one functionality of minimum search criteria. But we got that done. Subpotent doses flagging, we wanted to make sure that historical doses were also flagged as well. Just a few little tweaks here and there. And then also, some of this information led us to additional requirement development, and that did not surprise me at all, because once we got into the system, we knew that there were probably things we'd like to change. And then the few key gaps that were identified were the ones that I talked about with the follow-up section. So our key gaps were just these four things, and in reality, that's not a lot. We thought that when we first went in here that there would be a lot more areas that would not meet our needs, and that just wasn't the case. So basically, Oregon has always tracked vaccine eligibility by dose, And I know a lot of states actually do that by patient, on the patient level, but we do definitely track by dose, and that was something that needed to be tweaked a little bit for us in the system because it was sort of that way, but not quite met, didn't quite meet our requirements in Oregon. And then our forecaster algorithm needs to change a little because we are very lucky in Oregon to have a forecaster work group. Basically, that's all of our, it's like four, I always call them experts in our state that just really know the ins and outs of the immunization schedule, and they know all the changes. And we have just worked with them for years to make sure that our online forecaster for alert was accurate. And so what basically we just, you know, they just looked through everything and really worked hard with one of our HP developers. And I think this is going to be a very good forecaster slash evaluator in the new system because they call it the evaluator. And then also statewide reminder recall. And this was just something we like to say that out of those 300 requirements, not every single one of them was clear. We can't imagine why not, but basically we wrote all these requirements and realized that sometimes, we joke that sometimes HP did not necessarily understand the spirit of the requirement, and that was a joke that we had ongoing, but it was mainly just because, you know, just because we wrote it, we knew that it made perfect sense to us. Doesn't mean it's going to make perfect sense to somebody else. So that was one thing that we needed to clarify, because to us, statewide reminder recall meant centralized reminder recall, and it came from the state, and it was just a little bit different in the system. And then lastly, deducting inventory via data exchange. That was a huge thing for us because we just kind of assumed that if they deduct inventory, they deduct it from data exchange. But really, in the system, it was meant just for the user interface users. So that's something that we're having changed in the new system. Okay, I'm going to kind of go quickly through this because I talk too much and I'm spending a little bit too much time. So the outcomes, basically, HP delivered on all the written mandatory requirements and agreed to remedy those key gaps I just talked about. And based on our outcomes, we also decided to add 18 more requirements that were actually listed under our optionals rather than our mandatories. And then we also added another 17 additional requirements because, like I said, we're Oregon and we want it all. So this is proof right here. But most important outcome for me, at least, and a couple of my other colleagues who deal with the business side of this, is that we really needed our staff acceptance. That was a huge thing for us because we had a system that was, you know, built in 1995. Most of our employees have been working on that system for that long, and there was a really close tie with the system. And honestly, we'll probably go through a little phase of mourning with our old system. But with this, we got increased confidence that was just astounding. People really liked the new system. And it helped us in on the business team to help us guide our business transition planning, as well as our training and communication messages. So I want to give you a quick IIS team perspective, so our Oregon team perspective. So we came that it was a very strong system, and we are going to be able to customize it for Oregon, so that was a huge plus. We increased our customizations because that would decrease our process changes, and that was huge for us as well, especially with our acceptance within our internal group and our external partners. And it also increased our confidence and decreased the risk in implementation phase because, well, for me, that's just a given. And then lastly, our stronger IIS team and vendor team relationship. We joke around with them mostly because this has been a tough year, and we really have, Oregon is just, how do I say it nicely, we're pretty picky and we want what we want, and so we have a really good relationship with our vendor, but we just had to put in mostly because there has been some, you know, tough roads, but everything's working out great. Okay, so now what I would like to do is invite my colleague Katie Reed up to talk a little bit about the vendor perspective? No, okay, because she's not feeling super, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. Okay, we didn't get a chance to, yeah. So anyway, these were written by her. So why the proof of concept worked from our vendor team, HP, from their perspective. So it was product familiarization that occurred prior to delivery teams coming together, which was important because, you know, like I said previously, we had a lot of angst and they knew we had a lot of angst, so this was helpful. And also developed common understanding of the base product. Same thing, really helped us understand what we are purchasing. And it provided a platform for discussion. I like this because Before, we would discuss things that we just didn't quite know what we were talking about. We weren't on the same page, and so now we were definitely on the same page. And also provide an opportunity to establish common terminology for discussions. I said a few minutes ago, we always talked about our forecaster and they always talked about their evaluator. Sometimes it was a little confusing, then we realized we're talking about the same thing. And then lastly, it was a huge impact on requirements gathering. Requirements were clearer, more defined early on, and like I mentioned earlier, it's basically a chance for us to talk about the true spirit of each of the requirements. And then it did move us further and faster because we wouldn't be here today, I don't think, without the proof of concept. So is the process perfect? Well, no. If we didn't have the proof of concept, though, one of my colleagues, Greg Russell, who is our immunization coordinator for Washington County Health Department, he said if we didn't have that proof of concept, it'd be like buying a car before you have a chance to fully test drive it. And that's just not something that we were comfortable doing. Okay, our next steps. User acceptance testing starts May 15th, so as soon as I get back, we are jumping into stuff like that. First wave of public site rollout will be July 15th. Private site rollout's August. And schools and childcare, we're waiting till fall. This is a very aggressive plan, and we're going to do it. And then most importantly, we are going to do long vacations, definitely for Oregon staff, and we hope for HP staff in 2011. And we're just trying to get our project manager to get that in the budget, but I don't think it's going to happen. So I do definitely want to thank Mary Beth Carrillo, who is the alert director in Oregon, and then Katie Reed from HP, as well as Rick Hammondtree. He is our IIS project manager who has helped us sort through all the paperwork, through all of this, our alert team, as well as HP development team. So, thank you.